Today we will be looking into Luke chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. Luke chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. As you know, we are anticipating the ordination and the installation of David Ashley and Howard Heising as ruling elders and Joel Charez as a deacon in our congregation. So we're going to consider this text this morning as we think about this event. And we will look at the theme, spiritual fishermen. Spiritual fishermen. When we think of fishing, we often think of a Saturday afternoon, maybe a Saturday afternoon with our grandfathers. We think of leisure. We think of sunshine. We think of the sounds and the smells of the lake and all that is so pleasant about fishing. When we think of fishing, we think of a good way to spend a Saturday afternoon or maybe even a week in Mammoth. Now, James, John, and Simon Peter are not leisurely Saturday afternoon types of fishermen. They are trade fishermen. They have large boats. They have large nets. They have rain or shine sort of fishing, catch or starve fishing. They are trade fishermen. And this is seen in the discouragement of Peter in our text. In our text, they have been fishing all night, it tells us. Their shift has ended, and there's nothing worth taking home. So they begin cleaning their nets and repairing things that need to be repaired and making sure that all is in good order before they call it a day. But then they're interrupted, aren't they? They notice that a familiar teacher, a rabbi, he climbs into Peter's boat to escape this crowd that's following him. He asked Peter to be put off of shore a little bit so that he may teach from the boat. So Peter agrees, the boat goes out a bit, and Peter continues repairing his nets. We have Jesus. He's preaching to the people. And when he's finished, he looks at Peter and he says, "Did you try over there? Have you tried over there?" And Peter is so discouraged from this night of fishing and not catching anything. They've worked all night. They've caught nothing. And now this teacher, this rabbi, he says, "Over there? Have you looked for fish over there?" Peter responds, he says, "Master." Now, I honestly believe that Peter is being polite here. "Master, we have worked all night and nothing." But of course, it's worth a shot. As we've said, these fishermen need to fish and they need to catch fish in order to live. So they throw their net into the water. And what happens? This draft of fish that they have caught is so substantial that their tools actually begin to break down. And we hear, "Hey guys, we need some help here bringing these fish in." And the nets come in. And Peter knows something. He knows this is no ordinary teacher. He is amazed. He is astonished. And so are John and James. And Peter falls at the knees of Jesus Christ. And he says, "Go away, Lord. My sin, it is too great for you." But Jesus knows differently. This is the setting of Peter's call to ministry. Peter was called to be an apostle in the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, an apostle is a wonderful, extraordinary office. It's the teacher. It's the ruler. It's the practitioner of mercy. All in one office. So as we look at Peter's call to ministry, it's practical for me as a teacher. It's practical to the ruling elders in our midst. It's practical for our deacons as well, because the apostle was all three of these offices combined. So this is the setting. And today we will witness and participate in the ordination and installation of three new officers in this congregation. We can reflect on Peter's call and say, where were they when Christ called them to serve in the ministry of the church? Maybe minding their own business, working in a lawful calling, and suddenly Jesus Christ breaks into their life and says, I want you to serve. I want you to serve my church. That's how it is here with Peter. And in God's grace and in God's goodness, it's actually recorded for us here in Luke 5. Jesus makes Peter a spiritual fisherman. Jesus calls Peter to a life of ministry that is characterized by this lack of fear, as well as this call to forsake all, to even forsake his former calling, even though using it in his ministry, and knowing that he will now catch men and women for the sake of Christ. So our text, Luke chapter 5, verses 8 through 11, looking at the theme, spiritual fishermen. And from Peter's call to ministry, we will see that this call to ministry is a call with trust, a call with a task, and a call with training. For our first point, let us look at a call to trust. A call to trust. Our text says that Jesus says to Peter, do not be afraid. What was Peter not supposed to be afraid of? Jesus had just given him this large number of fish, and then he's telling him, do not fear. We know the fear is Peter's astonishment because of the power of Jesus to do above and beyond what is expected in his life. That is clear. But there is much more. In Pauline language, I think that we can say that the Spirit bore witness to Peter's spirit here. Listen to this man. Obey this man. Peter recognized that Jesus was more than just a man with an opinion on where to get fish. But Peter recognized that Jesus Christ was sent from God. He was a master who has this great spiritual insight that even affected the natural world in front of Peter. And verse 8 shows us this fearful reaction of Peter. In great humility, he falls at the knees of Jesus as he is confronted with his own sinfulness in the light of this call. And Peter is pressed with this very fact that he is a sinful man. It is here that Peter has what we could call a chief of sinners moment. And what does he say? How does Peter respond to Christ's beauty and Christ's loveliness and Christ's holiness and Christ's all-knowing mind. He says, depart from me. Depart from me. In Greek it is depart, go away, go out from me, escape my presence, depart from me. And why has Peter reacted in such a way to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why would Peter drive off the one that is calling him to minister in the church of Christ? Peter, no, Lord, depart. Peter knows that the gulf between Jesus' holiness and his own sinfulness is so great that it would make no sense for Jesus to be calling him to a life of ministry. It would be illogical for a holy Christ to call a backwards fisherman from Galilee. You know the questions. What good would someone so common be to the church? What good could be done from such a man as this? How can a sinner to this caliber serve the church? Peter's humility, Peter's self-knowledge is pressing hard on his heart. It's much like the call of Isaiah. When men are confronted with the holiness of God, it is so difficult to imagine their usefulness to the kingdom. But we're required to trust. We are required to trust in God's purposes. Isaiah 6 has so many parallels to this passage. Then said Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me. Peter is undone. Peter is called to trust in Jesus Christ, that his purposes are pure, and that he knows what is best for Peter, and that he knows what is best for his own church. And it's difficult to trust at that moment. Calling this rogue fisherman from this small town to bring the gospel of holiness to the nations and to aid in the ruling over of this church that Christ is building and to be the hands of mercy to a hurting world. Depart from me, says Peter. No, Peter, trust. Trust me, says the Lord Jesus. And I know what Peter is feeling. Undone, broken, even the sense of shame. Me, sinful me. I'm sure that Peter knew what the Lord wanted from him. This was not Jesus calling Peter to be a better fisherman. If it were just that, Peter would have said, wow, thank you very much. That is great. I can be a better fisherman now. But he says, depart. He is overwhelmed. Can you relate with the sense of brokenness? Do you feel like Christ has broken into your world and called you into that ministry of the church of Christ? And I believe Peter gives us precedence here to wonder. to stand in amazement at the holiness of Christ and to wonder about our calling and to wonder for our new office bearers, for them to wonder on their new life of ministry in an official capacity. And the natural man says, depart. This is not for me. Depart. This is too much for me. Depart. It is too much, says the natural man. I would hope that each of our office bearers would know something of the overwhelming responsibility to be a worker in the kingdom of Christ, to be the spiritual fisherman, and to trust that Jesus Christ has His church's best interest in mind. Jesus says, fear not. Fear not. It is a call to trust. Jesus is promising Peter that He will lead him through this. Trust Him that He will accomplish that which He desires for you. Jesus says, fear not, Peter. Jesus says, fear not, Howard. Jesus says, fear not, David. Jesus says, fear not, Joel. We know that Peter followed. There's so much anticipation. Peter trusted. Peter feared not. And what was the result of that obedience to Christ? What was the result of following the Lord with this trusting heart into the realm of ministry? Well, we know that there were some low points, times of great difficulty, times of great struggle, even times of unbelief. You know, truthfully, I think that's why Peter is one of the favorite characters in the New Testament. He's so real. He's so us. You know, it's not good, 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 good. It is failure and some good stuff. And failure and some good stuff. That's a lot like us in ministry. Times of struggle. Times of unbelief even, but the Lord sustained Peter, didn't He? The Lord made Peter a marvelous office bearer, a marvelous preacher, 3,000 souls in one day. I imagine that on Pentecost, which was roughly 3 years from this calling of Peter, that as he's preaching there on Pentecost, and as he's seeing Jesus being faithful in building His church, that Peter was reflecting on this moment, this fear not moment. Fear not, for the Lord has given you a great draft of men. And each office bearer has a special role to play in this spiritual fishing. The spiritual fishing that goes on within this room and goes on in the life of the congregation outside of here. So congregation, pray for them. Pray that they do not be afraid. Pray for all of the office bearers in this church. Pray that we are faithful. Pray that we are fearless in this task of being fishers of men. It is a call with trust. We also see this call is a call with a task. A call with a task. Look at the last part of verse 10. From now on, you will be catching men. There is purpose. There is a role. There is a job. There is a task at hand. Peter has been called to catch men. Look at the phrase "from now on." In Greek, it is now. From this point on. From now on. I love the King James. Henceforth. This is something that is to begin now. This task begins now. From the moment of this call from the Lord Jesus Christ, He has marked out Peter for ministry. Henceforth, Peter's vocation has changed. Peter is set apart for this task. Peter is going to be an apostle. And I would like to challenge each of the office bearers in this church to begin thinking in this way. A minister of the gospel. A ruling elder. A deacon of the church. Set apart. Ordained. Called to serve the church. And if the Lord has called you to this life of ministry, then there is a henceforth. There is a from now on. At this moment in the Gospel of Luke, Peter has had to think of himself differently. He has to begin thinking in from now on terms. There's this present reality to the call that Peter has received from now on. As a young pastor, I understand this tension of living this task-oriented life. Often young pastors struggle around this question, by what authority do I enter this pulpit? Do I really have the right to be here? Often young preachers feel this internal tension. They feel called to the ministry, and they feel that their life reflects something of what's required from an office bearer. But they don't feel that they have the right to be here in this pulpit, or the right to be called a pastor. And it's often the same way with those who have just been installed to the office of ruling elder or to the office of the diaconate. Who am I? Who am I? They think, I should probably wait a couple of months before I start giving my ideas or before I start really sharing in the discussions. And what happens is that months turn to years, and years come and go. We often hear about elders or deacons who are what, this isn't the theological term, but are in a funk. And they lose that sense of task. They lose that sense of calling on their lives. Henceforth, office bearers, henceforth, if the Lord has called you to this task, it is from now on. You have been marked by Jesus Christ. Henceforth, this task has a great purpose as well. It's a henceforth task with a great purpose. You will catch men. Now Jesus uses Peter's current vocation for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Peter is a fisherman, and he says, from now on, you will catch men. But in Greek, there's this slight nuance. it's you will catch men living. You will catch men alive. Peter has been in this business of catching fish for the purpose of the fish's death. His draft of fish, it's cleaned, it's scaled, maybe it's filleted and taken to the market, or it's taken home and it's given to his family. And the purpose of this fishing is for the death of the fish. But not so with his new task. He is called to bring life. He is called to drop down those gospel nets for catching men and women from the power of sin and from that curse of death. And it is for life. It is for new life in Jesus Christ. Peter will be catching men living. He will be catching men for the purpose of their life. And it's a wonderful promise from Christ. It's a wonderful promise for you and for me. And we need to hold on to that promise. If we have been called to trust in the Lord with this purpose of ministry, then we have been called to this task. The Lord will be faithful in honoring this promise. You will catch men. That is the promise. Christ is building His church. And so much of that building is through the office bearers of the church. So much of that promise comes through us, the office bearers, elders and deacons. They often become discouraged by their lack of influence in the congregation. Might I even go out on a limb and say they often feel a little bit bruised, maybe a little bit battered by the church and their seeming lack of spiritual results in their ministry. And if that is the case, and when that becomes the case, we can hold on to this promise. You will catch men. Thomas Boston says, "Hold on, O my soul, and give not way to these discouragements. You know not, but Christ may come and teach you to let down the net on the right side of the ship, and you may yet be a fisher of men. Trust God. You shall yet praise Him for the souls that you may be honored to catch." Elders, deacons, you have been called with a task. Congregation, encourage your elders in their task. Encourage your deacons in their task. Support them. Uphold them in prayer. Let them know how they have ministered to your life. Let them see that their ministry here makes a difference in your home, makes a difference in your life. And pray that their ministry expands. Of course, there is more. Jesus does not just call these men to trust Him for a life of ministry and then this task of spiritual fishermen and then send them on their way to do the work of evangelism and discipleship and mercy and ruling all by themselves. He doesn't ordain them and ship them off. We also see that the life of the spiritual fisherman is a life with training. A life with training. Verse 11 says, "When they have brought their ships to land, they forsook all and they followed Him and that purpose of following was for their training. And Peter and James and John were called to this task. They needed to weigh their options, didn't they? They needed to weigh their options as they began to prepare for this training. Remember, they just caught the catch of a lifetime. They have so many fish. So many fish that they actually have to call on their colleagues to come and to help them to bring all these fish in. And their reaction? Bring their ships to shore. They leave it behind. They forsake it. What faith. What trust. What obedience. They bring their ships full. And this means that their ships are full of profit. Their ships are actually full of money. They forsake it. Office bearers, we must weigh the cost. Weigh the cost of service. Because we all know that there is so much that we will be called to sacrifice because of our offices. One preacher notes, Peter, James, and John leave everything behind to follow Jesus. In John 1, there's this call to accept Jesus as Messiah. In Matthew 4, there's a call to become Christ's more steady companions without bidding farewell to occupation. But the present implied call means that they leave all. How great is the sacrifice they make? To be specific, actually they left fish, boats, business, home, extended families. They left everything. This training, we see, begins with a turning towards ministry, a turning towards that mindset that their priority is the church of Christ. And they followed Him. Ponder that. It's not a text focused on salvation. This is not Peter's salvation. But we hear, and they followed Him. This is vocation. And they followed Him. It's this commitment to training under the authority of Christ. And they followed Him. Training under the tutelage of Christ Himself. And they followed Him. It is a testimony to the power of the Lord Jesus Christ's call on an office bearer's life. And this training begins now. Remember, henceforth, from now on, Peter and the others, they've experienced the climax of their vocation as fishermen. And now there is this call to minister within the church of Christ. And they follow Christ to learn from Him. And in the following chapters of Luke's Gospel, we see how that training continues and how it will be used further in the book of Acts. We see healing of the paralyzed. We see others brought into that training, others brought into the ministry. We see fasting and the Sabbath day, and we see them, Jesus teaching them how to pray so that they may further teach others how to pray. And we see Jesus teaching them how to teach in the Sermon on the Mount. We see blessing and cursing and loving your enemies and fruit bearing and building on the rock and compassion and mercy and all of these things, so that these office bearers would be trained so that as they go out to minister, they can reproduce the teaching of Christ. And Jesus ministers among these men as a way to train them for this task, for this hard work. This hard work that, as we all know, has low points and failures and sleepiness at times. But training nonetheless. And Jesus still trains His ministers. He still trains His elders. He still trains His deacons. Have you been called to this task? This task of training and this task of hard work. Elders, deacons, seek out training for the office that you have been entrusted to. I can help you with this. Other ruling elders can help you with this. Other deacons can help you with this. Allow people to help you in this training. But maybe even go the extra mile. Maybe take some seminary courses on real practical things that will affect your ministry. Maybe on counseling or the family or on the governing of the church. Read deeply on your calling. Ask good questions. Attend conferences that specifically relate to what you have been called to do. Listen to sermons that speak directly to your office. Know your office. Study your office. And might I say, master your office. Because it is for the advancement of the kingdom. It is for the catching of men. Because essentially, this is the reason Christ gives office bearers to the church, isn't it? It's for this kingdom. It is for the building of this church. And we are called to disciple the nations. To bring men and women and boys and girls under the reign of Jesus Christ. Spiritual fishermen, we have been called to trust in Jesus' calling on our lives. We have been called to this task. There is work to be done. And we have been called to be trained and to continue to be trained for this work. So let us, henceforth, go from this place, casting our nets, the nets of this congregation, casting them by faith, knowing that we will catch men, and knowing that we have been called to be fishers of men. Today we witness installation. Today we witness ordination of office bearers for this church. Gifts to the church. Workers for the vineyard, spiritual fishermen called to trust, called with task, and called to be trained. And we look forward to seeing what Christ will do as we catch men. Amen. Father in heaven, we do look forward to the work that you have called these additional office bearers to. We look forward to seeing men caught and brought in for life. Amen.